Welcome to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. I'm Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist. Today, our guest expert is Dr. Shana Ehrenberg, the co-founder and president of the Board of Directors of the Libenu Foundation, which is an independent living facility in Chicago for Jewish adults with special needs. She's the chairman of the Department of Education and professor at Blitzstein Institute of Hebrew Theological College in Chicago. And she maintains a private practice for children and adults with special needs. She was also a national honoree in the 2011 Jewish Community Hero Contest, and she's helped us create some of our special needs resources at the Union for Reform Judaism. In the last part of our conversation, we hear Dr. Ehrenberg's important message to parents of kids with special needs. We also talk about how to talk to a child about his or her special need and how the Jewish community can be supportive of families with special needs. Okay, what's something that you wish every parent of a special needs child could hear?
That they have to plan ahead, that they have to be thinking about the transitions that their child is going to go through. You know, we talked about this. I think I mentioned to you that I started an organization called Libenu, and we're doing housing that is kosher and Shomer Shabbat for adults with disabilities. And when I think about the adults that I have now moving into these homes, it feels to me like they were just 3 and 4 years old yesterday. Mm-hmm. So the years go quickly, and it's really important to plan ahead and to anticipate what those needs are going to be. So I think it's important to contact an attorney who works in the special needs area to find out how you're going to set up financially, if you're going to be setting up trusts, what kind of security can you set up for your child, how can you protect your child's future, what money can be in the child's name, what money should not be in the child's name, what monies would then actually be detrimental to have in the child's name for their ability to access future services, and what do I do? We're so focused on getting through school, getting through preschool, getting through elementary school, getting the basic skills. But we have to be thinking about what next. So for some children, they may not ever be college bound. So what type of vocational skills can we start training them for? And I don't think that training can start too early. You know, when you're talking about teaching social skills and teaching how do we use leisure time and how do I ask for help? How do I, you know, if I'm not sure how to do something, how do I make sure I understand the directions? All of those are actually vocational skills and pre-vocational skills. So I think we need to kind of keep our eye on the end goal, which is going to be how, once this child's out of school, how are they going to live life as independently as possible, and what do I need to put into place now so that that will happen for them at that time. Parents of special needs also have another issue that parents of typical children do not have. And that question, which I know is heart-wrenching and painful, that question is, what will happen to my child when I'm not here anymore? So we're, thank God, people who are raising children who are neurotypical, we are working under the assumption that, God willing, our kids will grow up, they'll go to college, they'll get jobs, they'll get married, they'll have families, they'll live independently, they'll live productive lives. But a parent of a child with special needs can't take that for granted, right? Who's going to help my child? How is my child going to live independently? Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to make sure there's food in the house, that they're eating? You know, if they've got more significant needs, who's going to change their diapers? Who's going to make sure they bathe? Who's going to brush their teeth? There are so many questions and worries that parents of children with disabilities have that parents of typical children do not have. Up until the time a child turns 22, in effect, their education is covered by IDEA. Once they turn 22 and they step into the adult world, the funding really becomes almost non-existent. And depending on what state you're in, there's, you know, 10,000 people, 20,000 people on wait lists for funding. The opportunity for funding for job coaching and other support services is extremely limited. And so if we don't, as parents, if parents don't start planning early, getting their kids on these wait lists, meeting with specialists, negotiating where their kids can go next, they're going to end up just shocked, and their children are going to be sitting home. I see a number of adults with disabilities who finished school, and then there was really nothing for them in terms of programming, and I've watched them decline over, you know, the course of 2 or 3 years. It's almost like all the gains are wiped out.
As a child grows, is there a way, or is it important to talk to the child about his or her special need?
Yeah, and actually I think it depends, again, on what those special needs are and how well the child can process and understand that. I do diagnostic evaluations as part of my private practice, and I always sit with the students when everything is done and scored. We go through everything and we talk about, see how well you did over here? This is a super strength for you. And that means that, you know, you're able to do A, B, and C, and this is going to be a great thing for you to think about doing as a career, especially if you like this. And see, this is an area that's a little bit harder for you, or this is an area where we need to work, or we need to focus. This is why writing is so hard for you. So kind of explaining in a way that's very positive and that emphasizes the strengths, but also says, you know what, yeah, this is tough. You are right. This is an area that's tough for you. Here's how we can make this a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I think it's really
It sounds like it's also a way of teaching the child to learn to advocate for him or herself and what he or she needs.
And I think that is one of the most critical things that we can do, and the most critical skills we can teach kids is how to be self-advocates. When I go into IEP meetings and any kinds of staffings, I always ask that they include a goal for self-advocacy, because when a child gets older, if a parent is constantly advocating for their child, I think it's a good thing. I think parents need to be advocates. But you're not going to be able to call the child's employer and say, so-and-so was really mean to my son, and I think that he should, you know, your child's going to lose that job. What you need to really do is teach the child to say, I need this in order to be able to do my work. I need this in order to be able to do my job. And that skill is, it's just, it might be the most valuable skill that we can teach mm-hmm. children, whether or not they have special needs. I think self-advocacy is a critical skill.
Is there something specific, because of your work, I'm asking, that you think Jewish people with special needs need?
I think that they need to be included as fully participating members of the Jewish community. We're a people that are based in the sense of community. And people with special needs need to feel that they are fully included in our community. And that means that they can get to synagogues and access services. We need to make sure that as a community, we are reaching out and including individuals with special needs in all aspects of Jewish life. And very often, we aren't. If a child's got special needs or they're getting certain services, that is in the control of the school. Then they get to their Hebrew school or the supplementary school or their Sunday school, whatever it is, and all of a sudden they'd like, number one, they'd like one place where their child can be considered typical. Mm-hmm. So I see that a lot. But also there's a fear that if I share this information, you will not accept my child. And until that message comes back from the school that everyone is welcome and we will accommodate to the best of our abilities. Now, to be fair, parents have to meet the school halfway. So it's not enough for the school to say, we're going to accommodate your child, and then the school really tries to do whatever they can, but the parent is not helpful or supportive, and I see that as well. Then that's not going to be a partnership. It has to be really a shared collaborative partnership. But the message has to come from the school that we really want you and your child and your family here. We want you here. You're important to us. And therefore, we're going to do everything that we can to make this work for your child. And then sometimes, despite that, it doesn't work for the child. Okay, and the child really can't be part of that school or that school community. In that case, it's really important for the school to say, look, you know, we have tried everything here. and none of this is working, so let's together look for something that will work for your child. We're still with you on this. We're still partners on this. We still want your child to come for whatever will work. So I think that's an important message to get across. So as just members of the community, we need to be sensitive to what other people in the community are going through. And it's very difficult because we're all busy with our own lives. Everybody has got things that they're worried about, concerned about, business, health, their own children, their own lives. But sometimes I think we need to stop and focus on the outside a little bit and not just look at what's consuming us and going on in our lives, but really make a conscious effort to see what's going on with my neighbor. That's the essence of what a Jewish community is about.
Thank you for listening to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast, find more resources, including links and discussion guides, and let us know what you think at urj.org/parents.